Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. We are entering a section of John's Gospel that is not found in any other place in the Word of God. The things that John writes, he writes from a place of intimacy with the Lord. He's writing at a time, he is actually very old at this juncture as he is writing his gospel. He has had perhaps as much as 40, maybe 50 years to have seen the gospel, its effect, and how it has affected people's lives. And he writes for us a picture of the intimacy of the upper room as Jesus meets with his disciples. We've studied together already the Passover meal that Jesus had with the disciples, and after the meal gave them what we refer to as Holy Communion. And then he took off his outer garments and wrapped a towel around him and washed their feet. And then he did a little bit of separating in that he identified the one who would betray him, told him what you must do, do quickly, and send him on his way. And then Jesus begins then to speak in kind of a different fashion than all the other messages that he has preached, because he begins to speak to them very intimately and very specifically. These next few weeks, as we study through John's Gospel, we're going to be, if I can put it in this way, as close to the heart of the Lord Jesus as we can get through the pages of the Word. Because he is truly laying his heart out before them. It's exciting to me. Some of the most beautiful passages in the Gospels are found in this section, chapter 14, or actually part of chapter 13 through chapter 18, chapter 19, and then you start getting into the crucifixion, which is shared by all of the Gospels. But as we walk through these, I really pray that those of you, those of us who are believers, that maybe you can, in your mind, in your heart, take a seat at the table. Right there in that upper room with Jesus and hear his words. I believe I have license to say that because if these were only for them, it would have been stated in that way. But rather, they have not only been written for us, but they have been preserved for us for these 2,000 years. Now, come on, how exciting is that? So I truly believe, I can say this with all assurity, that the Lord would have those of us who are walking after him to have a seat in the room and to receive his words, even as he delivers them. Now, this morning, rather than read the entire passage to you, I'm going to read it in sections and discuss them just a little bit with you this morning. We're going to get a picture here, again, an intimate picture of Jesus that is truly not represented anywhere else. I don't want to repeat myself except to give complete clarity so that you can see it. If you remember, we are studying together under the canopy of Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you will find rest for your souls. I think we need rest. Hello? Anybody else? Lots going on in your lives? Well, the rest is found in our relationship with Jesus. In this very first section here, verses 1 to 4 of the 14th chapter, we will see a picture of the comforting Jesus. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. This comforting Jesus, and I feel very licensed, if you will, to use that term, because Jesus in the 15th chapter, and we'll study it a little bit later, there he will say, I'm going to send you another comforter. Another is only possible if there's one. So in other words, Jesus is the comforter. We often give this moniker, this label to the Holy Spirit, and rightfully so, because that is what he's called in the scripture, and that is who he is in our lives. But let me tell you this morning, Jesus is a comforter. I want you just to rehearse in your mind the number of times that you can think back, those of you that are students of the Word, as I am, you think back to the number of times that Jesus snuck up on them in the middle of the night, and they were scared out of their minds. And what did he say? Do not be afraid. It's I. It is I. In other words, hey guys, you don't need to be afraid. Even though you're out here in the Sea of Galilee, it's dark and the storms are raging all around you, I'm on the scene. It is me. It is Jesus. You can rest assured. Another occasion, he's sleeping in the boat and they're in the middle of the storm. And they went and they grabbed the hold of him and shook him awake. Lord, don't you care? We're going to die. And he turns and he said to them first, peace, be still. And then he spoke to the seas and said the same message. And they were on the other side of the lake. Amazing. Sometimes he is the comfort. He is the peace in the midst of the storm, and sometimes he speaks to the storm and ends it. It shows his power. It shows his love. I want you to know this morning, no matter what storm of life that you may find yourself, you are not alone. I say you're not alone. Do not let your hearts be troubled. What a statement. Now keep it in context. Here in the context, he is telling them, don't be troubled about the fact that I am leaving. Now you have to think about this for a second. These men have left everything to follow Jesus. They laid aside their professions. Matthew cannot turn around. The guys that were fishermen, they could go and jump in a boat someplace. It's possible. But Matthew, when he stepped away from his tax collector's booth, when he turned that all over and shed himself of that whole life, he could not go back and step back into it again. It wouldn't be possible. We don't know too much about many of the other disciples as to what their professions were. Bartholomew, what was his profession? Who knows? But whatever it was, he left it to come and follow Jesus. Now, think about this. Remember, he said, follow me. That was his command to them. Follow me. And they left everything and followed him. And now, sitting at this table, he says, I'm leaving and you can't go. Tell me that they were not shook up just a little bit. There would have been a nervousness in the atmosphere. There would have been fear. What am I going to do? You know, some, Peter, John, they were speaking to the situation. Philip, Thomas, they start asking questions in the midst of this passage. But there was a whole host of these guys that were sitting there. I'm sure, shaking their heads, scratching their heads, rubbing their faces, whatever. You know, going, oh my goodness, what now? He's going someplace we don't get to come. We left everything to follow him. Now what? That's why he said, let not your hearts be troubled. And then what are those next words? You trust God? Trust me. Oh, mercy. Come on, folks. When we go through the difficult times, when we go through the situations that's called life, and we don't know what we're going to do next, and it looks like it's all pressing in, is there anybody in the house that's been there? Huh? He's speaking to us. He's speaking to those who are his. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Trust. Trust me. That word trust there is the epitome of belief. It's one thing to believe. It's one thing to give mental assent to something and say, oh, yes, I believe. It's another thing to enter into that belief to the place that it becomes trust. Where trust takes over, that says, I do not understand. I cannot see the finish product of this. I cannot see where it's going to go. I cannot see that I'm going to come out of this. But I trust the one who purchased my life. It's interesting to me that then Jesus takes the next step, because see, he does not want them to be hopeless, helpless, in the dark. And so he immediately begins to tell them, and only them, where he's going. In my Father's house are many rooms. Now, some of us are old enough to remember that those were mansions. Hello? I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. How many times do we sing that? I'm not going to take that away from anybody, because if it's in God's house, it's a mansion. Whether it's a room or a quarter or wherever he puts us, it's going to be magnificent if it's in his house. But he says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. In other words, it's going to be a magnificent place. And then he says, I'm going there. And the reason I'm going there is to prepare a place for you. Hallelujah. You know that Jesus is getting our rooms ready? Our mansions just over a hilltop, he's getting them ready? Bill McKee is not saying that. Jesus said that. He wants those who are in relationship with him to realize that the reason he's not here, the reason he's there, is so that he can prepare a place for us. Now, how cool is that? And by the way, it's been 2,000 years. It's going to be someplace. I think if I had 2,000 years to build something, I think I could probably, and unlimited resources, I could probably put something pretty cool together myself. And he far exceeds my building ability. Hallelujah. See, Jesus is being straight up with them. He's telling them without holding nothing where he's going. And see, this is important to us because there are more words that are out ahead of us that he has shared intimately with those who would believe in him, those who would walk in him. He says, I am coming back again. Why? To receive those who are still alive and to gather up the bodies of those who have died. So the fact that he would say this to those individuals in that upper room should give us hope that every word that Jesus says to those who are his is true. If we will trust in God and in him also. Listen to that promise. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. What he's saying to them is, guys, you don't have to search for me. You know, when I read that, it immediately came to my mind about Elijah and Elijah. Maybe some of you remember the story. Elijah is taken up in a whirlwind. And Elijah had said, you know, I want a double portion of the Spirit of God that is on you to be upon my life. And Elijah said, if you're with me when I leave, it'll happen. He tried to get Elijah to move and to go in another direction, but he wouldn't. He was going to follow him everywhere, and he did. He followed him everywhere. And then they're down by the river, and all of a sudden a chariot of fire swoops down and gathers up Elijah and takes him. And it says that his mantle, his garment, if you will, fell back down. And Elijah immediately picks it up and smotes the river with it, and it parts, and he goes through on dry ground. And all the other prophets, the school of prophets that were following there, they wanted to send out a search party. Let us go search out and find where Master Elijah landed. The Lord picked him up, and let's go see where he fell. And Elijah said, no, there's no sense in looking, because he's gone into the presence of the Father. You see, Jesus is sparing these guys. He's saying to them, I'm going where you cannot come, but don't worry about it, because I'm coming back and I'm going to gather you and then take you to the place that I've prepared for you. So just relax. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't worry. Don't fret. And friends, that's got to be ours as well. The important stuff, the really important stuff, the Lord has it all taken care of. And by the way, as he's taking care of the important stuff, he just sweeps along the trivial matters as well. You know, the things of this life, the things that will come and go, he'll take care of it. The key is to trust in him, to let him be the master of our lives, to stay at the table, to lean against him, and let him be responsible for our lives. We take way too much responsibility for our lives. I want one of those amens right there. I said, we take way too much responsibility for our lives. We need to learn to lean in upon Jesus, to trust him with the next steps. You say, but doesn't matter. He has them all under control. And oh, by the way, he's coming back for us to take us. And you know, many people say, oh, I know that the Lord's coming back, and I know that it's going to be grand in heaven, and I know that he has a place prepared for me, but I just don't know how to handle the stuff that's going on in my life right now. The same way that you're going to get to go be with him is the same way that you and I need to walk it out. And that is to trust him. You know, everything I say always beckons back another song that we used to sing out of the hymn book. There's one in your hymn book that's called Only Trust Him. We need that. Only trust him. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust your money. Don't trust your job. I've got to get really messy here. Don't trust your mate. Don't trust your family. Trust Jesus. Too many of us misplace our trust, and then when humanity or the circumstances of this life let us down, we're broken. When the Lord Jesus would say, trust me. I have your life under control. Now, listen to me. This message is only for those who are walking in him. I want to give you one more word concerning these 11 who are sitting at this table. Every one of them will give their lives for Jesus. Every one of them will die a martyr's death. In other words, they have left all to follow him. That doesn't mean that they didn't have worldly possessions. They had worldly possessions, but they held on to them loosely because their treasure was not on earth, but in heaven. Can we get a hold of that? When we let go of the earthly treasures and grab hold of our heavenly treasures, it changes our life, it changes our present as well as our future. Learning to trust him, learning to live and walk in Jesus only means that you can walk free from fear and pain. Well, not pain in your body. Because see, sometimes these bodies of ours, because they are temporal, start breaking down. I should get an amen there. But you see, because that which is earthly is crying out to return to the earth, does not mean that my hope is set in what is earthy. So while the outside is breaking down, the inside can be soaring. Oh, I wish we could really get down and talk about this, but I'm going to move on. In verse number 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? Jesus answered and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. So he gives them a truth that may be deeper than they can understand. And so he ends it by saying, look at the miracles that you have witnessed. Have you ever seen anything like this before? To which their reply would be, absolutely not. He is saying, let that stand as evidence of the power that is in me, the power of the Father in the Son. What he is doing here is he is expressing to them his true identity. Now, throughout his ministry, Jesus has alluded to the fact of his deity. But to those that didn't know him, he did not stand out and proclaim himself to be the Son of God, or that the Father was in him and that he was in the Father. But to those who knew him, he wanted them to understand his real identity. So those of us that have slipped into the room this morning, I hope that you can hear this. He is one with the Father. Now, I'm going to give you a primitive illustration of this, but the reality far exceeds the illustration. You and I have a mind, a body, and a spirit. Okay? Father, Son, and Spirit. We are made in His likeness, in His image. The image of God and the image of man are very much the same in this triune nature, mind, body, and spirit. The Father, the mind, Jesus, the body, and of course, the Spirit being the Spirit. It's easy, if you frame it in that way, to understand how He is one with the Father. And the Father is one. I ask you, are you one with your mind? Say, well, I hope so. Whatever my mind tells me to say, I say. That sound familiar? Isn't that exactly what Jesus said? You see, he remained in the presence of the Father, though he came in the flesh and he set aside his deity. He remained in the presence of the Father. He went away in the early morning hours. He spent the night. He stayed in the presence of the Father until the very nature of the mind of God became the nature and mind of the person Jesus. And if you remember, when he was baptized, the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit were all resident in Jesus. Here's the beauty of this, folks. And that is that you and I, as we die to ourselves and we live in Christ Jesus, it is Christ in me, the hope of glory. In him I live and move and have my being. Come on. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. He's in me. And I am in him. You see, this isn't foreign to those who have surrendered their lives to Christ, because this is the life that we live. His Spirit in our spirit. His person in our person. As we read, as we study, as we live in His Word, we become more and more of His nature, to the place where we cry out with Paul and easily cry out with him, in Him I live and move and have my being. Now, if you haven't surrendered yourself, if you haven't crucified yourself unto the Lord Jesus Christ, that may seem a foreign thing to you. But when you surrender your life to Christ and you take a seat in this room, It will become part of your nature. You say, oh, I understand. I understand how Jesus was one with the Father and the Father was one with Jesus, because that's the life that I live, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Hear me? So you can only understand some of these things. It can only unfold when you step into relationship with Christ. Now listen, I don't want you walking out of here this morning and say, oh, Pastor, you're hard on us, and you sent me on my journey this morning feeling poor or anything like that. I'm telling you, you have an opportunity today. Now, whether you have entered into that opportunity is between you and the Lord alone. But you have an opportunity of a relationship with Him that is patterned after Christ's relationship with His Father. And the same Spirit, hear me, the same Spirit that was in Jesus Christ is the same Spirit that is in you and I. And if the same Spirit that raised Him from the dead dwells in us, guess what's happened? He will quicken our mortal bodies, it says. Hallelujah. Now, some of you are just not interested in this at all, but I am. I think it's fantastic. You know, oh, Thomas is good with questions, isn't he? I'll not believe unless I can thrust my hand into his side and finger into the nail prints. Wow, that's about as hard as you can get. So here he comes with the big question. Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how will we know the way? And Jesus said, Philip, I'm the way. I'm the truth. And I'm the life. Now, these are all powerful words. We could spend a long time on that. Truth being the veritable essence of a matter. The way being actually the street, the road, the path, whatever you want to call it. The life, of course, is physical life. Jesus says, I'm these things. There's one more little shadow. We don't have time to develop it this morning, but I throw it out for your study, those of you who are studying the Word. And that is that each of these speak to the nature of God. The way being the Father. The truth, the Spirit. What does Jesus say in the 16th chapter? He said, I'm going to send you another comforter who the Spirit of... Right. Who will not only be with you, but He will be in you. Huh? Come on, see, you grab a hold of this. What he is saying to them is, I'm about to tell you that I am one with the Father, but before I tell you that, I want you to realize that you can be in this. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus has not just invited us to come alongside and to watch what he's doing. He has invited us to come and be in what he's doing in this world. I go to prepare a place for you. Every intention that Christ has, I will never leave you or forsake you. He is with us always to the very end of the world and beyond. Let me close with the third and fourth final portion of this. In the 12th chapter, we pick up the reading. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. And he will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to my Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. He is an empowering Jesus. He's a comforting Jesus. He is identified with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. And he is an empowering Jesus. He wants those who are His to realize that they have a source. A source of power that they can tap into that goes beyond anything that this world knows about. You say, but Pastor, I just don't see that working. It's because you're not looking. You're sitting there looking at me this morning, but I am doing something today that Jesus could not do. Right now, in this service, in this very moment, in this very second, I am speaking to the world. When Jesus was here in the flesh, He was in the confines of His body. He took that on because it was necessary, but He was confined to a single place. If He was in Nazareth, then He wasn't in Jerusalem. If He was in Jerusalem, then He wasn't in Galilee. If He was on the east, on the west shore of Galilee, He wasn't on the east shore of Galilee. But today, by the power of His Spirit, this word, this sermon out of John's gospel is going to the ends of the earth. And people in numerous... Steve, do you remember how many countries? I don't want to get it wrong. At one point, it was like 19 or something or other. Yeah, so people in excess of 19 countries around the world are picking up this message that you are listening to right now. Greater things than these will you do in My name. You see, we start picking down and we go, oh yeah, but you know, I don't see the dead raised like Jesus raised the dead. They're being raised. There are men and women of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ who are believing for this, and the dead are being raised. Blind eyes are being opened. Deaf ears are hearing. Lame legs are being made whole. Club feet are being made whole. Arms are being restored. These are testimonies that are all proof text through various publications of things that are happening around the world of people who believe that what Jesus said today is true. Greater things can you do in His name because He is going to the Father. You see, we're just living way, way below our capability as we walk in the Lord. And you can only answer this, but maybe we're too distracted. Maybe we've got our eyes set on the wrong thing. Maybe we're snuggling up to the wrong stuff. I don't know. But I know this, that whatever He said is true. And the fact that He said, those who belong to Me, those who are living in Me, those who will trust and believe in Me, I will empower them. That whatsoever you ask in My name, that will I do. Now, you see, we can take that and we can go, oh, I'm dirt. Huh? I'm nothing. It never happens for me. Other people pray and it never happens for me. You can take that track. That's one track. Or you can say, here's a possibility. Here's a promise. Here's an opportunity. I'm going to begin to build my faith. Let's see. How do I do that? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, the rhema word of God. As God's spoken word to my life brings alive my faith, I can believe that I can lay my hands on the sick and they shall recover. I can believe. Not because I have the power in myself, but because I'm in Him. And He has promised an empowering for those who are in Him. So the challenge this morning is not a critical one to you or to me. Oh, shame on us because we're not. No, it's what an incredible opportunity is before us. Why don't we see, those of us who belong and are walking with the Lord, why don't we see if we can't bring this word of truth alive right here in our own lives, in our own midst? Huh? What do you think? I mean, how many, it's worth a try. If it's about trusting and believing, then surely I can start moving more toward that. If it's letting go a bit of the stuff of this world and hold on to it more freely so that I can grab hold of heaven and the things that He's preparing for me. If that's what it's about, then I think I can do that. And if He said, if I do that, if I trust and believe in Him, that whatsoever I ask in His name, He'll do, that's worth some of my effort, my abandonment, if you will. Oh, I don't know. Maybe it doesn't interest you the way that it does me. I'm going to pursue this. I'm going to pursue this because I don't know how many more days that I have left on this earth. But you know what? I'm going to pursue this because He said it was possible for my life, and I'm believing that what He says is true. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself. I'm counting on it. I'm counting the hours. I'm counting the minutes. I'm counting the days for Him to come back and receive me so that I can go to the place that He's prepared for me. I believe all of that. I welcome that. I look forward to that. But He also said that while I'm here, I can ask in His name, and He'll hear me, and whatever I ask will be done. So I'm going to press into that. And there's really no place for me to get mad at myself, mad at somebody else. Say, why weren't they healed? Well, it had to be your faith. Huh? No, why don't we all just begin to press in? We need some miracles here in this church. I have those lists with me. Nearly every place that I go, I'm carrying the infirmities that are in this church family. I want to see complete healing. Thankful for some partial healings. I'm thankful for continued life in some circumstances. But I want to see complete healing. Undeniable God did it healings. There are some people I want to see saved. I want to see heaven drop on them. I want to see the power of the Holy Spirit just mess with them until they turn their lives over to Jesus. And I believe it's possible because He's a comforting Jesus. He is one with the Father and the Spirit. And He's an empowering Jesus. He wants us to be involved in what He's doing. Stand with me, please. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes.
If you know that song, I want us to sing it one more time, and let's sing it like a prayer this morning. I mean, those of you that belong to Him, and if you can manage the words or jump in and out, but help me sing it. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, yes. Lord, hear us. Because I believe that many in this room are not just singing a song. They're proclaiming a desire of their heart. Hear us this morning, Lord. We hunger, we thirst after Your righteousness. Your rightness in our lives. You said if we hunger and thirst after Your rightness, that we would be filled. So fill us, Lord, with Your Spirit. Fill us with a supernatural impartation of faith that we can see the mountains move of sickness and struggle, that we can see the stuff that is getting in the way of the preaching of the gospel to be removed, that we can see and know that You are actively involved in our lives and we in Yours. I thank You this morning for Your comfort. I thank You for Your cry to every person who is in struggle in this sanctuary that believes in You. That You said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. Lord Jesus, we release to You today our struggles. We release to You today the things that we cannot manage. We release to You today our fears and our hopes and our dreams. And we believe that You are enough. That truly, as Paul wrote to us, all things will work together for good to those who love You, to those who are called according to Your purpose. We believe Your word this morning, and we take hold of it as truth. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray for those who are not walking in that relationship with You this morning. They don't know the intimacy of the upper room. They've never experienced it. I pray that Your Spirit would move upon them in that kind and gentle and peaceful way, and that You would draw them as You have drawn so many of us. That You would forgive them as You have forgiven us. That You would cleanse them from all unrighteousness as You have cleansed us. And that You would give them the hope of everlasting life as You have so beautifully given to us. Bless them this morning. Bless them with changed lives as they surrender themselves to You. In Jesus' name.